Amen. This morning, I'm going to talk to the Calvary family, all of you. I was actually not going to mention preach or teach what I'm about to until after the new year. But the Lord moved on my heart, I believe, to teach it this morning. And so even though it is to the Calvary family, it's all also to those that are listening online as well. But it's a specific word for us. I've entitled this morning's sermon, A Christmas Prayer. Would you say that with me? A Christmas Prayer. Do you know there's over 650 prayers, or approximately, in the Bible? That's a lot of praying. And they're recorded for us. And there are, I think, maybe about 435 or more, I didn't count each one of them, of the recorded that God granted what they prayed for, the answers. Now, when the Lord moved on my heart several months ago about what I'm about to speak with you about this morning, I prayed and I said, Lord, I hope you're transparent with God because He knows everything about you. Amen. And I said, Lord, I said, you know, if I stand up before your people and share with what you just, I believe, said to me, they already know that, Lord, I'm kind of strange, but now they're going to think I'm insane. And so if you really want me, Father, you have to help me and give me the text that will completely identify with what you just sowed in my heart. And so for the last 3 months, I have pondered this, and I thought, well, this will be something I'll share in the new year. But the Lord moved me this week to preach it or talk about it today. So when I asked for the text, the Lord led me, as you just saw, to one of the most unfamiliar scriptures or text in the Word of God. Very few people read Chronicles, amen. And so if you look through 1 Chronicles, for example, it's a listing of the names. It starts with Adam and his lineage and all the fathers, and it goes all the way, ends with David and so forth. So in 1 Chronicles, for example, or rather in our text in chapter 4, there are, I think, around 118 names that are given of the family of Judah, but few details are really given about them. And there's a little bit, but not a whole lot. And then suddenly the Holy Spirit does something. As you read through chapter 4, He zooms in, if you will, on one particular individual, which we know very little about. We don't know his age. We don't know if he's married. We don't know his father. We don't know really who, like I said, whose son he's what, or any of those things. What we do know is this, is that the Holy Spirit recorded this for us, that he was, number one, a man who believed in prayer, and a man whose life was changed because he went to God in prayer. Amen? That's a wonderful thing. And so the Holy Spirit has, in a way, zoomed in on this one particular individual, and it's for a reason, and it's for a reason this morning that I use this text. So let's look at it together in verse 9. It says, "Now Jabez was more honorable than his brother." So his character is summed up in just one word. He was not just honorable, he was much honorable, more honorable, if you will, than his brothers. Now, that right there, it tells us something. First of all, it tells us what a word from the Holy Spirit, amen? I mean, the Holy Spirit's the author of the Word of God, right? And so I say, dear Lord, he's more honorable than his siblings, his brothers. I don't know how many brothers he has, but we don't know that. But what we do know, that his brothers evidently were not a blessing to Jabez's family. And they dishonored the family in some way. However, it is possible in our text that the word dishonor is actually, or the word honorable, I'm sorry, is actually describing the character or the condition of Jabez. There's a possibility. The reason I say that is the Hebrew word for honorable here is kabod. That means, and it's used, I think, about 14 times in the Old Testament. It's used for heavy or a heavy, heavy weight or the glory of God, the manifestation of the glory of God. And, you know, when the glory of God comes upon an individual, it is heavy. Amen? Boy, you better believe it. You know that. So Jabez's life, I don't know. Was it weighed down? I don't know. Maybe that's what was going on with him. We don't know. Was he more burdened than his brothers? We don't know. But what I do know, there's a play on words with his name. Look at it. And his mother called his name what? Jabez. In other words, that word means pain, sorrow. How would you like your mom to name you that? Amen. And his mother called his name pain or sorrow, saying, and here's the reason, because I bore him in pain. And in Hebrew again, there's that word. I bore him in sorrow. I bore him in pain. And so his mother gave him a name. You're just a pain. You're just a pain to me. I mean, it's like the mom is saying something like, you know what, I'm sorry I ever had you. I don't know if that's what's happening, but I don't want to read into the text. And it could mean, you know, the word kabod means heavy. So maybe he was, in his birth, he was really heavy. Get it? He was a porker. Now, I don't believe that's what the text is saying. That's just a little humor, okay? But maybe that's what it is. But she bore him in pain, if you will. Now, childbirth, you know, we could really, is childbirth painful? Yes. Women say yes. I hear one man say anything. It is painful. That means that probably every mother could call their kids, there comes Jabez, right? Now, the Bible tells us, what did the Lord God say to Eve in the garden in Genesis 3:16? Remember, the Lord said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow, your conception, in pain you shall bring forth children. Now, I would say that usually all giving birth is always painful, unless there's something else. I guess even an epidural doesn't always knock out the pain. You know what I'm saying? So, and I've happened to be in many hospitals when that goes on, and it's amazing to I've not seen anything painless there. Okay, so with all that being said, I think what happens here in our text, and I'm going someplace, and I want you to just hold on now. I think this text right here that I just read, it identifies perhaps the problem that the mother was having. And here's the problem. You said, I'm bearing you in pain. I'm bearing you in sorrow. If you go through Chronicles, you're going to find that the listings, they always have their fathers. But there's not one mention of Jabez's father here at all. And there's also no listing of any inheritance, which the land was passed down from one generation to the other. That's not listed either. So maybe that identifies the problem. But how would you like growing up all of your life and being called Jabez? You know, think about that. A name means a lot. You ever wonder about why you get names like, you know, what's your name? Montana? I mean, oh, never mind. I don't. So what did Jabez do? Let's look at it. And Jabez, he prayed, didn't he? He called on the God of Israel, saying, he prayed to the only and true living God who alone can hear prayer, and the only true and living God who can answer prayer. Did you know that God cares? He cares about you. You can, 1 Peter 5:7, you can cast all of your burden, all of your anxiety, everything you're going through upon him, for he cares for you. Job cried out in Job 5:7. He says, yet a man is born of trouble as sparks fly upward. But as for me, I would seek God, and to God I would commit my cause, who does great things, who does unsearchable and marvelous things without number. Amen to that. Now I'm going to ask you a question as we're trying to understand our text. Jabez's brothers were, for some reason, they were dishonorable. Now, I'm going to prove, I think, in a moment what they did, but let me just ask, put it this way. Is it possible that these dishonorable brothers, Jabez's brothers, that for somehow they lost their inheritance? They lost their land. They lost what was passed down to them, okay? It doesn't say that, but it might. And then what about this? Where's the dad? Because, see, it passes down from generation to generation for the Jews. Amen? Okay, and so did he lose it? I mean, we're not really told, but what we do know is Jabez prayed a specific prayer with only 32 words. And he prayed about five specifics, if you will, in his prayer about his life. And he says, he called, Jabez called on God of Israel, saying, and I love this. You see that word, oh? That's not oh. It's oh. You got me? You got it? It says, oh, that you would bless me indeed. He's asking for supernatural, divine favor upon his life. And the word oh in Hebrew here is deep. It is intense. He is crying out. He's not just saying bless me or oh, bless me. He's saying bless me indeed. Oh, God, please bless me. Do what no one else can do. Change what no one else can change but you. You know what he's doing in prayer? He believes in God. He is clinging to God. He's just like Jacob. Remember when Jacob went out and he sent all of his children and all of his cattle across the river there because Esau was coming and he was left alone. And it says in the Bible in Genesis 32, it says in verse, I think it's 24, 25 right there, he goes, and he was wrestling a man. That man, the M is capitalized. We know that is the Lord. Amen? Now, he says, when he saw that he did not prevail against him, Jacob, he kept holding on, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip. And it says he knocked it out of joint just as he wrestled with him. And then in Genesis 32, 26, and he said, let me go. I'm sorry, the Lord said, let me go, for my day breaks. In other words, no one has seen the face of God and lives. He says, but he said, no, I'll not let you go unless you bless me. That's the kind of prayer that Jabez is praying. Lord, I'm clinging to you. I'm not going to let you go. I have to have you. You must bless me, oh God, please. And he's saying, even like Jacob, I would rather die than lose my blessing. And listen to what happens. And he said unto him, what is your name? And Jacob said, Jacob. In other words, my name is deceiver. That's what it, remember? My name is supplanter. And he said, I'm admitting who I really am. And he said, you shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. In other words, Prince of God. For you've struggled with God, with men, and you've prevailed. And Jacob saying, tell me your name, I pray. And he said, why is it that you ask about my name? In other words, you know who I am, Jacob. And it says that God did something. He blessed Jacob there. You know, that's what we must have now. We are already blessed, loved one. But there's a blessing that this church needs. And I say, oh, Lord. You know, maybe you're here. You know what God just said? He said, you'll never be known as deceiver again. You might have a name that you don't like in your life right now. Maybe it's unfaithful. Maybe it's this or worry or whatever. You know what? You don't have to enter 2023 with that. Amen? You don't have to do that at all. And you don't have to fight with God about it like he was. God says, I love you. All you have to do is come for me, and I've already changed who you are. You're a brand new creation in Christ. And so Jabez is saying, oh, Lord, bless me. Bless everything I do. And when we get to the end of his prayer, it says, God granted what he requested. Now, what about you? Listen, for us to go into the next year, you must truly not just know facts, you must believe them in your heart. Are you blessed? Ephesians 1:3. Thanks be unto God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, past tense, blessed us, present tense, a present reality, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies which are in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you really believe that? Well, you know, it's one thing to have them. God says, I declare you blessed. All the blessings are already yours. But you have to appropriate them by going to the throne of grace. You have to believe in your heart that they belong to you because God's pronounced you blessed. The Bible says in Proverbs 10:22, the Lord's blessing is our greatest wealth. Amen? Oh, listen, that's exactly what we need. Now look at the next specific that he prayed for. He says, and enlarge my what? my territory. The Good News Bible says, give me much land. I don't really care for that translation, although it works. The word there is enlarge my border, if you will. The word enlarge in Hebrew means this. It means to increase or extend my territory. But listen carefully, and this is what I want you to key in on and put in your heart right now. The word territory means this: an area, like an area of land under the jurisdiction of someone else. Amen. Let me say that again. An area of land or whatnot, territory, that is under the jurisdiction of someone else, meaning that it wasn't under the jurisdiction of Jabez. Does that make sense? Very important. And then he says, look at the next, he says, the third specific, that your hand, everything that you are, Father, everything that you are, God, he says, that you would be with me. In other words, be with me in that territory that I'm praying about. And so he didn't ask for just any hand. He asked for God's hand, the power of God, the presence of God. He said, I want that. He says, it's your hand, not my abilities. See, listen to me, Jabez's heart was overwhelmed. And one of the great scriptures that I run to so often, when David cried out, he says, oh Lord, when I cry out to you, please listen, bend your ear down. He says, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. You see, that's what he's praying right now. He says, I need you to guide me, not my abilities. Lord, I'm Jabez. Look, you know my name. They call me sorrowful. They call me painful. My own mother. I've heard my brothers say that all of my life. And he's saying, listen, not my abilities. Guide me. You know, the psalmist has written in Psalm 16:11 about our guide. He says, oh Lord, you'll show me the path of life. In your presence, fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. What a true word. Isaiah says this in Isaiah 41:10. He says, fear not. And then he tells us why. For God says, for I'm with you. Do you believe that God is with us? Do you believe God, if he tarries, will be with us in 2023? And if not, we will be with him. Amen? Yes. He says, fear not, for I am with you. Meaning his presence. He says, don't be dismayed. And he tells him why. He says, I'm your God. Boy, God is our Father. He says, I will strengthen you. That's God's power. And he goes, he says, yes, I will help you. That's God's provision. And he says, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. That means his protection. Now look at the next specific in verse 10. And that you, not anyone else, not the world, not the government, not the Jewish people, he says, that you, God, would keep me from what? Evil. That you would guard me, that you would protect me. Listen, we need God's protection in 2023. Amen? Yes. And he says, guard me from all the evil strategies of the wicked one, the evil one. You know, the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 3:3, it says, but the Lord is faithful. I love that. He's always faithful, isn't he? Who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. No wonder the Lord taught us to pray and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, meaning the evil one. Amen? Look at the fifth specific, verse 10 again. And look at what he says. This is heartbreaking. He says, and Lord, that I may not cause pain. That's a play again on his words. I don't want to cause pain anymore. I don't want sorrow, Lord. The NIV version says this. He says that I will be free from pain. So what is Jabez praying? He say, Lord, he says, I need a change. Yes. I need a name change. I need something. He says, I don't want to be known as a man of pain anymore. I don't want to be known as a man of sorrow anymore. And he goes on, he says something else. Again, a play on words. And he says, I don't want to be a pain to anybody else or cause pain to anyone else or sorrow to others as well. So what has he done in his prayer? He's gone full circle. He began with pain and now he ends with pain. What is he saying? I want a brand new beginning. And some of you need a brand new beginning, not just right this minute, but also next year. Amen? It's like, let it go. What could have been, should have been, might have been, let it wash away in the blood of Jesus. Amen? And live every day that you can. Life is too short not to live, loved one. Live, meaning live for God, not the world. No. He says, I want you to do something in my life, Lord. I want you to stop the pain. I want you to stop the hurt in my heart. Now, Jabez prayed. And what did God do? So God granted him what he requested. 32 words, I believe. Man, and God answered his prayer. What does that mean? It means that God opened the doors that were needed in his life. It means that God's presence, his protection was there in his life. It meant that Jabez was no longer a Jabez. Amen? What a glorious world. Now listen to me. What name do you want for us, for Calvary Chapel in 2023? What do you, a name to be known? What name do we really want? Just, I play church or I am the church? Listen, I want you to listen to me now. I tell you, I've been praying about this, guys. We, I don't care what anybody else does, but we, in next year, if the Lord tarries between now and January, loved one, we need to go back to the roots, our roots, meaning the roots of the early church. In other words, when we think about the early church, did they believe in prayer? Oh my gosh. Did they believe supernatural, the supernaturalness of God? That was the norm for the early church. And whenever the early church, when they were threatened, what did they do? Did they quit? Did they give up? Did they run out? Did they complain? Did they write a letter to the pastor? No, let me tell you what they did when they were threatened. Acts 4:29, here it comes. They were threatened. Don't you speak in the Lord's name? You da 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 da. And they go, hey, oh Lord, they're praying. Look on their threats. Have you ever prayed like that? Lord, look at their threats, those little sissies. He says, and grant to your servants, servants, big word, that with all boldness we may speak your word. Stretch out your hand, O God, to heal, signs and wonders that may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Filled with the Holy Spirit, and spake the word of God with boldness. Boldness is a quality of the Holy Spirit. It's not a natural quality, loved one. No, and the church today, they were not silenced, but the church today has been silenced, the majority of the American church. I want to tell you now, listen to me, defeat awaits the non-praying church or the non-praying Christian. And I'm going to say some things, and I love you. You know that I love you. I love the church, but you know what? What I have goes through me, comes from here down through here. See, the problem with a 21st century church, it has a mindset. And that mindset has to be broken. Why? Because the 21st century mindset has stolen from this generation. What is it stolen, Bill? It has stolen the adventure of following Jesus. You know, I looked at my wife this morning when I left and I said, it's been quite a party, hasn't it? I said, over 30 some odd years, 37 years, whatever. I said, what an adventure. Oh, how hasn't it been? Look what God has done. Oh, you see, the American mindset of the church today has stolen the adventure of following Jesus. It's stolen the supernatural from the church. Watered it down. It's stolen prayer. Listen, what's happened today is that the church is being conformed into their own image. They're not being conformed into the image of Christ. Do you understand? It's rampant in so many churches today that they are falling apart. They're watering down the word and they're walking away. Let me ask you a question. And I say this lovingly with no judgment at all. Listen, you know how many charismatic churches I preached in my life? You know, those are the wild people. You know what I'm saying? You know where they run around the building and they get up in the service during, and they'll run around and they maybe have tambourines and do some dancing and, you know, you don't see that in the Baptist church. Or if you do, I haven't. You know, unless they're a Baptocostal, you know what I'm saying. But I think about all that, and I'm thinking that when I used to preach in Pentecostal churches, or when I used to travel around in different parts of the world and preach, especially in Pentecostal churches, you know what the people did? They came expecting. No, they came expecting. They came expecting to hear a word from God. They came to they believe, is they don't want to miss because God may, I may be healed of whatever today. Do you understand? That they were excited about it, and they were expecting God to move. Do we?
Yes.
Well, we have four songs, and maybe he'll move. Oh, I felt good, didn't it? Oh, loved one, listen. No, see, today, this mindset is they come in, and I say this lovingly, listen, you know, it seems like if they come to judge the church. What does the church offer instead of coming and knowing who they have, the King of Glory, the King of Kings? That's what we have to walk into and so forth. So it's time to pray. It's time to believe in the supernaturals of God. It's time for a Christmas prayer for this church. You remember when Jesus went up to the fig tree and it didn't have any fruit on it. It had a bunch of leaves. It looked good. It looked religious. But it didn't have any fruit. What did Jesus do to that fig tree? He cursed it. So when they were coming back the next day, all of a sudden Peter said, "Oh my gosh, Lord, remember that fig tree that you cursed? It's all withered up. It's dead." Now, and what did Jesus do? Did he answer them and give them a sermon about it? Let me tell you what he said in Mark 11:22. So Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God." Loved one, have faith in God. What an incredible, unbelievable answer. He didn't explain the lesson of the dead fig tree. He didn't do that at all. He gives them a command. He looks at them. They're looking at a dead fig tree, and he says, "You have faith in God." He didn't say, "Have faith in your prayer." He said, "Have faith in God." Loved one, the most important thing in praying is not, "I have great faith, I have little faith." Listen to me. Faith is faith. Do you understand? If I have a bottle of water and it's full, well, okay, I'm full here, but if I take one drop of that water and drop it over there, is it water? If I take one drop of faith out of the full, is it faith? Yes. Romans 12:3, God has given unto us, every person, the measure of faith. You have exactly what you need. Now, the most important thing in prayer is not the amount of faith, it's the object of your faith. Does that make sense? When, for example, we know where Harley is. Praise the Lord. Amen. He was my main man all those years. When you walked in here, you sat down in that chair, and your faith wasn't in you sitting down in the chair. Your faith was, you just looked at the chair and knew it was going to support you. Amen? Amen? Did it support you?
Yes.
Did you sweat all the way while you drove in? "I don't know if it's going to support me or not." No, you looked at the object, the chair, and you said, "It'll support me." And you plopped down, and you didn't have a worry about it. You might have even jumped up and down a little bit on it. You had perfect faith. Listen, the object of your faith was the chair. Listen, have faith in God. You're going to need it for what I'm about to tell you. You have to have faith in God, not faith in your faith, but faith in God. The object of our faith is in the one who cannot lie. The object of our faith is in the one who cannot change. The object of our faith is in the one who can never fail us.
Yes.
Have faith in God. The psalmist has written in Psalm 83:39, the Lord says, "Oh, my loving kindness I will not utterly take from him, nor allow my faithfulness," God says, "to fail. My covenant I'll never break. And I'll never alter the word that has gone out from my lips." What an incredible promise from God. So what did Jesus say? How did he continue with the lesson of the fig tree? He says, have faith in God. And then he says this in Mark 11, 23. He says, assuredly, that word is amen. He says, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed, cast into the sea. Those are two commands, by the way. And does not doubt in his heart, doesn't let his heart go back and forth and back and forth, but believes that those things he says will be done. He will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. And then Jesus continues so. And whenever ye stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, you forgive them, or your heavenly Father in heaven will not forgive your trespasses. Forgiveness and prayer go together. Amen? Amen. Now listen very carefully. The mountain that Jesus was talking about, was it a real mountain? No, it was a metaphor, okay? He's just using that. In other words, the mountain represents the impossible. The mountain represents the immovable. Now listen, it's not faith that moves the mountain. It is God that moves the mountain. Amen. It is God. Have faith in God. Listen, the word impossible, is it in God's vocabulary? Absolutely not. Dr. Adrian Rogers said this. He said, faith is not knowing God can. Faith is believing God will. But we must exercise faith in, not our prayer, faith in God. Do you see the difference? It's not, oh, he heard my prayer. Oh, no, no. I have faith in you. Oh, I am. You know. Now, what are we going to do with these scriptures? How about this one? There's the command followed with a promise from Jesus, Matthew 7. He's 7:7. He says, ask, it'll be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door will be open. For everyone, here comes the promise, everyone who asks, that word in the Greek is present continuous, keep on asking. Everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. To him that knocks, the door will be opened. What about this scripture, James 4, 2 and 3? He said, you have not because you ask not. What are we going to do with this scripture right here in John 15, 7? Let me read it to you. It's Jesus said, if you, remember we're talking about he is the vine, we are the branches. Remember he said, without me you can't do anything. Gets down to verse 7 of John 15. He says, if you abide in me, if you live in me, I live in you. My words, if my words abide in you, my words, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. What an incredible promise. But is there a condition? Of course. His words have to abide in you. Amen? What did Jesus tell us in Matthew 4:4? Man shall not live. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. We are transformed by the renewing of our minds. Amen? So if our words, we get the word of God into us, then all of a sudden God's will becomes our will, and that means we ask for the right things because we know the word of God. We won't ask amiss. Amen? Now, John 14, 13. Whatever you ask in my name, meaning anything that is compatible with my perfect, spotless, sinless, holy life, my name. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do. And here's the reason, that my Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, is that a blank check? No. It has to be according to the will of God, doesn't it? Okay. What is the will of God? What is the will of God? The Word of God. That's the only way we can find out the will of God, unless we pray and he gives us the unknown will of God, amen, for whatever we're facing. So it's according to the will of God. 1 John chapter 5, 14, let me read it. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything, if we go to the Lord in prayer, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Oh, he hears us. Those were the words that came, anything according to his will from God's word. That's the God-breathed word, amen? And he says, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we have asked of him. Now, loved one, the screen is about to come down, or maybe it's already down. But I want you to listen to me now. Last Sunday, we learned that Calvary Chapel Fort Worth and our work in Mexico and our work with Haltom Christian School, well, and you and me, we are all God's good works. Amen? And we are God's good work. The school, everything that we're doing here before was created before we were ever born. Amen? That we should walk in them. Since they are God's good works, then he knows exactly what we need. So we're having a Christmas prayer. Now, you see those photos up there? They should be rolling here in just a minute. You might have to dim the lights a little bit. I want them to see this. And now, listen, I'm going to read as those roll. They're going to be showing you the old Aaron's building. They're going to be showing you the car wash and the service, that whole side over there, if you will. I call that side on 377, I call it the corner of death. Oh, no, I do. So you can, if you drove down there from the gas station all the way, you'd see, well, you know who, they just built it, and I was so proud of them because look at the trees and the shrubs. Oh, praise the Lord, the corner finally has beauty. Amen? And they let them all die. Let them all die. You know, the old Aaron's building is set empty for 2 years. It sits vandalized. It's a hidden haven for drug users. It's a dwelling place for the homeless and people sleeping in the trash area bin or in their own cars. The car wash, okay, that's here. It's filled with drug users, loved one. They have vandalized their coin machines. I've talked with the owner over and over. They finally had to do a weld on there to make them where they couldn't break them in. And they go through the drug people. And I'm not beating them down. I love people. But they go through. And they go through the trash cans. They throw the trash over into the church, all those things. We had to put the, you know why we put the fence in? It wasn't to decorate the church. We had to put the fence in, loved one, on this side of the building because our children could not play on our property, the school children or any of the other children. And the reason is because of what they were experiencing there. So we put this brand new fence up, and the owner came over, talked to me, and he says, we're going to tear our fence down. I said, well, your fence is already down. It's falling apart. And he said, well, we're tearing it down, and your fence is going to become our fence. I said, oh, okay. You know why we put the fence up? This is because they came in and they stole repeatedly the catalytic converters out of the vans, the church vans. They even looked over one day, we had it on video, I believe, the thieves looked over from the car wash and they saw a beautiful golf cart that we used for security. What did they do? They cut the locks on the gates, opened that gate wide, and they literally, we saw them, the video, driving the golf cart down 377. Are you with me? Yes. Now, we can't even play the children in the back because of the foul language that comes from the people and all the. And if you've ever heard that music over there, you know what I'm saying, don't you?
Yes.
Oh, come on. It's so loud. It's so vulgar. The senior high, the junior high, they have a 1,000-square-foot patio on right outside of the barn. But they kind of don't go out there in the evening because because of what's happening. Does that make sense?
Yes.
During the day, people from the car wash area and other areas, I don't mean to offend anyone, but this is true. They walk around the car wash, they come over to the church, to the kids, the main lobby area and over by the classrooms, and they urinate right there in front of the windows. Are you listening to me? Did you know that Paul Koo, one of our elders, stands guard every day before the teachers arrive? And the children to make sure they all are safe because we've had people sleeping in there and drug addicts and people that's tried to break into the shed. Pastor Thomas was out there and this guy had unscrewed all the screws out of the side. And Thomas said, what are you doing? You know, oh, I'm just looking around, you know. No, yeah, I mean, listen. And now there's been discussion because of everything that's going on that we might even have to, well, fence the entire property. with, you know, ornamental iron or whatnot. Isn't that sad? It's also expensive. Now, I want you to listen as I read Jabez's second request again. He says, oh God, he says, enlarge my territory. Remember, the word enlarge means to increase or extend. The word territory means an area of property that is under the jurisdiction of someone else. And that is going to be our Christmas prayer. How many of you really and truly believe in Ephesians 3:20, where it says, where God is able, he is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that God has put in us. And it says, and it goes, and glory to all generations in God's church. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Well, I'm going to tell you. Do you see the graphic that we're getting ready to put up? Do you see? Here's the graphic. I want you to look at this very carefully now. You see the yellow? Okay, that is our church property, okay? Do you see the blue? Go ahead and talk. I need you to talk.
Yes.
Okay, the blue is what?
Yes.
You guys are so smart. You know, and you're looking at it from a whole new angle now. I mean, wow, you know, I don't drive, I'm looking down. Feel like the Lord, don't you?
Yes.
Now, you see the red?
Yes.
Yes. Territory. An area under the jurisdiction of another. Reading from my journal. March 30th, 2001. The church board, we voted to purchase the remaining 4 acres from Mr. Haltom. I met with Mr. Haltom. We made the agreement on the amount of money, and we shook hands. The deal was done. He knew that I had to depart for Austin, and I would be back that Monday. Monday was April 1st, April Fool's Day, 2001, reading from my journal. Mr. Haltom sold the land out from underneath us today. Oh, Lord, it's hard to believe, but I praise you. The land that he sold out from underneath us is the red. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
The red. We are in revolution. Remember the scripture, Matthew 11, verse 12. And from the days, Jesus said, from John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. In other words, they take it by storm, meaning they seize the kingdom because we're kingdom citizens as a precious prize. Amen? That's who we are. See, it is time again, Matthew 6:33. Jesus said, never seek first anywhere in the entire Bible about any, or the New Testament, about anything except one thing. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Amen? His righteousness, all these things will be added unto you. Now, I'm going to say something to you. When the Lord showed me this, I wrote down, I said, the red, that is kingdom property.
Amen.
Do you understand me? I said, that is kingdom property. Now listen, I believe that Jabez, he won back what was lost, his territory. He won back his inheritance. How? He did it by prayer, meaning his inheritance, his property that was under the jurisdiction of someone else. Does that make sense? See, I asked God, I said, Lord, if you want me to get in front of your church and say what these things, they're going to think I'm crazy unless you give me a text that I can teach it from. It's a perfect text. Do you see this? And I'm going, oh, God, you're so good. Did he get back his inheritance? Listen to me. 1 Chronicles 2:55. And the families of the scribes who dwelt at Jabez, the town of Jabez, God restored unto Jabez the land that was lost. And what did Jabez do with the land? It became a place where the scribes began to study God's word. Let me give you one scholar's interpretation of what I just said. Jabez established a school of training in the word of God for young men and women. Here at Jabez was a training school of these scribes who were to be the prophets who go out and teach the scriptures in various villages and places of the land in the land of Israel. Listen, a Christmas prayer, that property on a handshake, which was good enough for me, it was stolen from us. We need that property. Why do we need it? Well, we need 10,000 extra square feet. We need a 10,000 square foot building. That's exactly what the old Aaron's building is. We need it for our children, meaning Haltom Christian School, because we're outgrowing. Do you understand? We're continuing to grow. We have to think now and plan now. That's why the Lord laid this on my heart. Do you know what it would cost to build if we just go out there to the property that we do have? I met with the architect last week just asking him. He was a good friend who did the master plan study of this years ago for us. He said, Bill, right now the building costs are crazy. He said, anywhere from $250 to $300 a square foot, which means if we build 10,000 square feet, that's $2.5 million. Do you understand? Now, here's the deal. Some of you are saying right now, Bill, you are about to ask for money. That is so far removed from my thinking and my heart. Here's what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you to be a kingdom citizen. I'm asking you to stand up and say, Lord, that property was stolen from us. And look at it now. Do you think it's not, is it bearing fruit? It has never borne fruit. Do you understand? It has never borne fruit. Never. Not anything. It sat empty for 2 years. They don't even know who now. Merlinda's been researching and researching. They don't even know really who owns that thing. I'm asking God to give it to us. I'm asking God to restore the property that was stolen from us for the future. Do you understand? So we can go and just redo everything that we have to do. And that's what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you, this church, if you believe anything I've said this morning, if you believe it's from God, I'm asking you to do one thing. Have faith in God and pray. You know, I read a story not too long ago about this village. One day they decided, hey, we need to all pray for rain. The whole village came together to pray for rain. And whenever they all gathered together, there was only one little boy that came with an umbrella. That's faith. You see, that's faith. So here's the thing. If this word has touched your heart, pray. I mean, pray. Claim what is ours. It was stolen from us. Do you understand? It was stolen from us. You don't shake a hand and say, the deal is done. And we had the money to buy it, pay for it cash. And they knew that. God laid that on my heart, loved one. And then he gave me the scripture. That which is under the jurisdiction of another, Jabez said, Lord, I want it back. I want it back. Listen, who knows what God might do? I mean, he may, who knows? I mean, see, I don't know. I don't know how. I'm not going to define. I'm saying, whatever you want to do, Lord, if that is your will, if you gave me this word, if this really, and if your church will really pray and believe, will you give it to us? You were there, Lord, when I shook him right there in that upper room where my office used to be. You heard him agree. I'm not against him those days. He's already gone home. I'm not mad at anybody. That's never entered my mind. Do you understand me?
Yes.
Do you believe this is God?
Yes.
Are you going to pray?
Yes.
Then don't let up. See, let God do it. Maybe God will, he might, who knows, God may send $1 million, I don't know, I don't care. I just want what's ours, because it's for the future. It completes what we're doing. Does that make sense? Father, we come to you this morning in Jesus' name. We're asking you to enlarge, increase the territory that's under the jurisdiction of someone else. This is your good work. We commit it. I commit it. Lord, I'm looking. I can't wait. I'm excited. What are you going to do? If it's your will, Lord, then here we are. We're in agreement. We're waiting, expecting, and we're watching with pleasure to see our God do the impossible, to do the immovable, to give back what was stolen from this church. For the future of this church, Lord, if you tarry, you know what we need. The school is your good work, not mine. This church is your good work, not mine. And here we are, your good works. We are believing. We give it into your hands, Lord, and we will not let up. This Christmas prayer will extend until we see your hand move. In Jesus' name, and the church says, amen. Amen. God is good. You know I love it when you think I'm going to beg for money. Because I don't ever beg for money. I look to God for everything. Amen. Listen, I'm excited. And I know it's time to go, but I'm excited. Can you imagine, there we have that, and we start remodeling that place, and we have all those new classrooms, and we have more and more students. This is what God is doing. It's what God is raising up. And we're all a part of it. Pray. Have faith in God. I love you dearly. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. We will get into the Christmas spirit maybe next Sunday. Amen. If you're visiting for the very first time, the Lord bless. So good to have you. I'm going to depart over to the Welcome Center. They have a free gift they'd love to give you. I'd love to meet you as well. If you need prayer, there'll be people here to pray, of course, when Jesse closes us out. In Jesus' name, amen.